We thank you, Lord, for this time. Yes. We thank you for directing our steps, and we thank you, Lord, that we want to hear from you. We
yes.
want we want this to be a word from you. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Okay.
The title of this message is "Are You Prepared?" Are you prepared? And we might find this a little bit interesting about the key verse, because this is basically what I did. Just go in the concordance and find out the first place I see the word prepare. And this is it. Genesis 18:7. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Okay, now that's got, we'll put that in a little bit of a context. But it was interesting to me that first off, that this word prepare was at least translated to the word prepare, first off, with Abraham. Okay? Okay, so when I started thinking about this and meditating on it, it's a whole lot to do with Abraham's life, okay? But we're going to back up a little bit and just get the context of this, too. Okay, and if you back up to verse 18, just chapter 18. Oh, my goodness. Where do I have it? Someone start reading chapter 18, starting at verse 1.
Then the Lord appeared to him by the... Yeah, whatever that is, trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them. He bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. And after that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, and took a tender calf, and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate.
Okay, well, now you got the context there? What was Abraham ready for? What was he prepared for?
Yes.
There's a question. Yes, what?
I said the guests.
The guests. Who were the guests?
The Lord.
Yeah, Abraham. Now, Abraham doesn't, you know, by the way, when have we ever seen in Scripture where someone bows down and says Lord to somebody? And because when this happens to an angel or something, the angel says, "I'm not the Lord." We've got those scriptures in Revelation and different places, you know, where an angel or whoever would say, "I'm not your Lord," or whatever kind of thing, right? So it's interesting that this is a picture of being ready, being prepared to meet the Lord, right? Okay. If we want to compare that, like, to the 5 virgins, or the 10 virgins, and the 5 foolish and the 5 wise, right? We've got 5 that were not ready. Right? They weren't ready. So this is a good, some good scriptures to meditate on what we do to be prepared. So what was the first thing Abraham was doing?
He gave the young cow into the hand of his servant to prepare.
Well, the first thing he did was bow himself.
Yeah, or just go back to verse 1, Evan. The first thing he did was?
Greet run to meet them.
Well, he was actually sitting there, probably in prayer or meditation of something, probably communing with God in some way.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like, how can you see the Lord?
Unless you're looking.
Because he says, it says here, he opened his eyes, and then he saw. Okay, he saw the Lord before he opened his eyes. Okay, so he was in prayer, he was in meditation, he was talking with the Lord. There's the first step of being prepared. Now, we can go before this. We can go back even before this actual time, because we can kind of take a quick rundown of Abraham's life before this particular time, and I think that's a kind of an interesting little study too. Okay, Abraham starts pretty early, but I think it's around chapter 14. Anyway, I've got some things that happened in Abraham's life before this particular time, and one thing that we'll notice over and over again. Anytime Abraham hears from the Lord, he stops and he builds an altar. Okay. Specifically, he sacrificed to the Lord at a particular location. It was a way of remembering. That's why you build an altar. The altar was a way to remember. Every time the Lord spoke to Abraham. Okay. Chapter 4, Genesis 14, 14 to 15. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobar, or whatever, which is on the left hand of Damascus. Okay, this is another aspect of Abraham's life, right? Who did he have?
318.
Well, this is just the specific ones that were trained, that were armed as trained servants. So he was, he had many servants. So Abraham's lifestyle. Abraham's lifestyle, character, and so forth and so on, was, this was a guy that was, that you wanted to serve. This was a guy that treated people right. This is a guy that, when he had servants, they wanted to serve him. You know, we've even got the example of the servant that went to go get Isaac's wife, right? And trusted servants, right? Because that servant took all kinds of wealth with him, right? So, I mean, these are all characteristics of who Abraham was. I don't even think that it was necessarily a requirement that three visitors that would have come to the tent would not have been treated the same way. Now, he wouldn't have stopped and said, "The Lord." He wouldn't have called him Lord. But, you know, I can imagine that Abraham probably did this. He was going to talk about the Lord to them so that they would know the Lord better. Okay. One of the first things that, of course, when Abraham was called, he was called out of his father's house. Well, that was part of the requirement, of course, to be called out of the father's house because he needed a new father. But he was called to a land that was full of wicked people. At one point, God had even said, the iniquity of the Amorites, I believe it was in this case, is not complete yet. Okay? And that's why basically the delay of giving the promised land was going to be done at a time when the iniquity of the land was full. But Abraham had to stand in all that time that he was in Canaan. He had to stand as a righteous person in the middle of wickedness, and in that he had many servants, okay, and he treated people right, okay. I want to give you a couple more examples. In this same time when we just read the scripture in 14, Genesis 14, when Abraham took his servants and pursued after those who had taken Lot and returned his brother and the goods. Okay. So this is another part about Abraham, Genesis 14, 18 to 24. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the high priest of, he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. Okay, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. So right here we see Abraham standing in the midst of wickedness, not Melchizedek, but in the land where he basically had to go make war with somebody. And somebody coming to him and saying, "You're blessed." He was recognized as a man that was blessed by the Most High God. Okay. Possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. This is one of those signs of someone who is serving the right God, right? Your enemies are delivered into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Okay, so we see that Abraham, another thing about Abraham, right? He gave tithes to Melchizedek. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." Well, see, one of the things that when Abraham went to deliver his brother Lot, those people were basically taken from Sodom. So when Abraham brought back the people, his nephew, right? His nephew, along with him, was a bunch of people that also came out of Sodom that were basically taken for slavery. Okay? And the king of Sodom said, "Well, hey, just give me back the people." So he was interested in getting his people back. And but keep the goods to yourself. And this is another character of Abraham. Remember, he's doing all this, standing in the midst of this wickedness in the land there. And Abraham said the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to the shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich." That was his character. He knew where his blessings came from, and he was going to show that to the rest of the world by not accepting it from wickedness. Okay? That makes sense? All of these things that I'm saying here are ways that Abraham prepared to meet the Lord. Right? Okay? That's what we're studying. How do we be prepared? Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me. And then there's some names there. Let them take their portion. So whatever portion was taken, it was for the benefit of others. And a worker is worthy of his hire, is one of those scriptures that you might use to justify what he did there. Okay, so Abraham had a prior life of strictly listening to God and obeying him. But my covenant, this is again some more stories about Abraham, Genesis 17, 21 to 23. "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Okay, this, I want to back up now, because when Abraham met the Lord, remember he was praying in his tent, he had a vision of seeing the Lord, and then he said, he opened his eyes, and three men appeared. The Bible said three men appeared. Now, we know that we can understand that to be probably a manifestation, a physical manifestation of what we know to be the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, don't, you know, I think that's a good, our understanding would be, that would be. Okay, now Abraham went to the tent and saw these three men and bowed down and said to one, Lord. He called one of them Lord. And at that point, he went and got prepared the meal. Now, this is another aspect of being prepared, right? He didn't have to go out and buy. If you compare this to the five virgins, they were told, well, you don't have enough oil, go to those who buy and sell, and buy yourself some oil. See, being prepared is, I don't have to buy it. I've already got it. You know, I'm spending time with the Lord, whatever it is, I'm getting oily without this going buying and sell stuff, okay? So this is another aspect of being prepared. Another aspect of being prepared. He had all the resources. What he was able to give to these three men, which we understand to be the Lord, was out of his living, out of his livelihood. Out of his livelihood. Okay? It didn't, you know, all he had to do was give a bunch of commands, really. He commanded some things to his wife, he commanded some things to his servants, and then it was prepared and ready for fellowship. Is that not what we wanted? Is that what when we want to meet the Lord, we don't want him just to pass by, right? You know, he was saying, don't be just passing by here. Another aspect of being prepared, do you recognize the Lord? Do you recognize him? Another aspect of being prepared. Because if it wasn't for him being prepared to see them, they would have just passed by. Because I'm going to finish this story and you're going to see they had another purpose for being here. They had another purpose, okay? They, I think it's just as well that we read it, actually. Okay, one of the purposes. Here's one of the purposes. To tell Abraham exactly what's going to happen with him. And that's stated in Genesis 17:21-23. Somebody want to read that?
But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this time, at this set time in the near next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. To what verse?
23.
And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born to him in his house, and all that were bought with his money, and every male among him of Abraham's house, and circumcised their flesh, same day as God had said unto him.
Okay. Well, I might have got, yeah, that actually is a little bit out of place there. But this is another time where Abraham had listened to God and was obedient. Another way that we were prepared. Okay. I believe it's why I said that scripture is because it's basically the same thing that the Lord told him at that time too in chapter 18. I think if we continue in 18 just a little bit further, we'll see that that's exactly what had happened. Again, he's iterating that you're going to see it, you're going to have a son. You want to continue with 18:8, or where we left off? Genesis 18:8.
Verse 9.
Or 9.
You want me to?
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. And they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Yeah, so in other words, this is being a lot more specific about the promise. You know, before it was a promise that your inheritance is going to come through your own loin, right? And this is a lot more specific. It's 9 months from now, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Okay. Now, before I had said that these men had another purpose, okay? This happens to be the exact time where the Lord had decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and actually there was five cities in total that were going to be destroyed. And when they were ready, after the fellowship with Abraham, you can read the chapter if you want to, but I'll just summarize it for you here. After the Lord had said those things about Sarah, they turned their face toward Sodom, okay? And this is where Abraham basically holds the Lord there. I mean, the other two guys, they go ahead and take off toward Sodom, okay? And Abraham is basically delaying the Lord here. He's delaying the Lord, okay? He's saying, would you destroy those cities if 50 righteous? Remember that? We all know the story, right? And he finally gets it down to 5, okay? And we can tell from Scripture that he's really talking about the 5 that he's talking about is Lot, Lot's wife, the 2 daughters and their 2 husbands. Okay, that comes out at the 6. Well, that's actually 6, right? So, God was interceding for his family.
But the wife didn't really make it, though.
Yeah, well, 5 did. Well, not the two husbands didn't make it either because they didn't believe. Okay? But Lot was still interceding for them. I mean, Abraham was still interceding for them. And when God said, I won't do it, what was his plan? His plan, well, I'll just take out the 5 and then I'll destroy the city. You see? That was God's fulfillment of what he had told Abraham. Okay. Well, he couldn't find 5. That's the basis of the actual outcome. There was only 3 righteous, you know, if you really get down to it. And another interesting thing about the two men, they're in the Bible, they're called angels. Well, angel is the definition of an angel is a messenger, okay? But we know that the message that they were bringing was from the Lord. So it still is a representation of who the Lord is. And when Lot saw them, he called them lords. Interesting that Abraham had a little bit better handle on who the Lord was, okay? Because he only named one person. He only bowed down to one voice. I'll put it that way. He only bowed down to one voice. And Lot, in the place that he was, we can imagine that he probably served many gods or was around many gods. So it would not be out of his character, Lot's character, to call these guys lords. So another interesting part about that. And it's backed up by the fact that what those two angels did say did come about So they were speaking God's words, okay, and they were acting in his stead, or whatever, however you want to view that. Now there was a couple contrasting things. You know, we had in the New Testament, we had the picture of the ten virgins. Five are prepared and five are not. Five are ready and five are not. Five are not taken out of their lifestyle. We're just going to have to go do some work, buy and sell. And whereas the other five, it's just part of their life. They were able to produce this oil just by their lifestyle, you might say. It was just part of the way they lived. It was always ready, always there. Okay, it was their lifestyle. So that is a picture that we saw back in the Old Testament with Abraham. He was just always ready. When the Lord was ready to speak, he was listening. And by the way, God is not going to be talking to you all the time if you're not going to be obedient, right? So when he heard, he obeyed. Another fact of being prepared. Another fact of being prepared, right? When the five wise virgins were called, because now the Lord was there, they were ready, right? They were ready because they just the way they lived. Another contrasting case was with the prodigal son in Luke 15:11-24. We kind of know the story, so we're not going to have to read that necessarily. But one of the things that we understand that the prodigal did was that he wasted his possessions on prodigal living, okay? And those words, prodigal living, are, I had to look up some of these words, because dissolutely actually means lacking restraint, marked by indulgence in things, drink or promiscuous sex, so forth and so on. So what the prodigal son was doing with his living was burning it up, okay? He wasn't living a life that could be supported by, that would be automatically supported by what he was doing. In other words, when it comes from your life, then the way you live actually produces whatever you're, is backing you up in whatever you're doing. Am I making sense here? You know, the simplest thing we can think of, well, I go to work every day and I make some money so that when I go to the store, I can buy the food, okay? If I don't go to work and I go buy the food anyway, then I'm not taking it from my living, I'm just wasting it, okay? So, I mean, there is a example of what the lifestyle was, right? If we contrast that with the prodigal son who just burned it up until it was all gone, so therefore it didn't come from his living. When Abraham sacrificed the calf for his visitors, there was going to be another calf born, because this is the way he was doing it. They were just producing it continuously. And it's going to be bought and sold. If the Lord doesn't show up, his livestock were going to be traded, bought, sold, or whatever, to provide for the needs of all his servants or whatever. And so it came from his living. Okay. So another aspect of being prepared, how do you live your life? Are you just expecting that someone else is going to provide for what you're doing? Or are you doing what's necessary so that you always have something to give? Okay, because maybe he couldn't have talked these guys into stopping and fellowshipping with them if he didn't have something to offer. There was no rebuke, right? The Lord did not rebuke him for saying, oh, well, you should have had one cooking all the time or something. He didn't rebuke him. No, right? Okay. Because this all that happened in less than a day. I don't know how long it takes to make cakes and all that stuff, but it happened very fast. I mean, I would suspect maybe a couple hours at the most. Okay, well, anyway, that's... from there, it's just a matter of, like you say, meditating, finding out what we're supposed to be doing, right? It's not necessarily, oh, I got to store up. There was no barns full here. There was no... Abraham didn't make a big barn and store stuff up. Because, by the way, that's just another aspect of prodigal living. If we can store it up and then not do anything for... If you think you can just not do anything except live off the barn, then strictly it's not out of your living anymore. You know, what was stored up in the barn should have been the stuff, the extra that should have been somehow spread the wealth and trade and buy and sell and whatever. So the storing up was, if it's just for yourself, it's not of any benefit. And the picture we get in the Bible there of the guy who put the stuff in the barn, it doesn't talk about a whole bunch of servants, right? But on the other hand, if he was concerned about other people, he would have had servants. He had the wealth there if he was able to store them in the barn and so forth. Anyway, something to meditate about. I hope I give you some ideas of what is required to be prepared.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Anything else quick that we need to pray about?
Make it to home.
Leave.
How do you know that was on my mind? Well, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you for what you're doing in each and every heart and life. Right now, Lord, we lift up every need, every request that's represented here tonight. We send your word right now. You're adequate, Lord. You're more than enough. You're more than enough to meet those needs. Father, we thank you for the manifestation of a home for Renee and Stephen, and for Bob and Karen being able to have their life back again. We thank you, Lord, for operating in those who will obey you and who will seek you and who will look to you. We ask you to meet the needs of everyone who has a need here tonight, which is your plan and your will, according to your word. We thank you for that. We say that all needs represented here are met and taken care of according to your word and according to your plan. Now, Lord, we bless everyone that's here. We bless those that are not here. Father, we thank you for this time. And we look forward to coming back again Sunday, Lord, and being in your presence and being in fellowship with one another. Over your word and in your word. In you, Lord. Father, now go with us. We thank you for safety, sweet sleep, rest, and for redeeming the time, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.